Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network's Your Team Every Day. I'm Jordan Malley. My co-host Matt Peck is out today, but make sure you're following us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your voicemails, your text messages, anything you got for us, drop it there. I know probably a lot of you are reacting to one of the main topics I'm going to talk about, so we'll get to that in just a second. But anything you want to talk about, 331-979-1369. Anytime you're listening to the show, what I suggest is to pull out your phone right now, go to your contacts, add us as Locked On Bulls at 331-979-1369 is our number, so you can hit us up at any time. Don't ever have to remember that number. But welcome back on this Friday. Thanks for hanging out. I know this episode's out a little bit late. Like I said before, Matt Peck is out today, so I'm going to drive you guys into the weekend. We have a couple things here to talk about. The biggest news coming out of a Friday, a Thursday news dump, timingly, a couple hours before Bears game, first game of the season. Nobody was going to really check up on the Bulls. Chandler Hutchison suffered a hamstring strain. So during workouts earlier this week, suffered a hamstring strain, not giving a timetable on return. But yeah, that's the biggest news right now here with the Chicago Bulls. So we'll get into it in a second. But I wanted to also mention that I'm going to touch on a little bit of Zach LaVine hype as well. From The Ringer, an article coming out saying Zach LaVine maybe could lead the league in scoring. So it's good to see some more national attention being focused not only on the Bulls, but Zach LaVine, because I think he deserves it. I think he's in store for a big year. So we'll talk about that at the back end of the episode. But let's get to the Chandler Hutchison stuff. So the Bulls' official release yesterday says Chicago Bulls forward guard Chandler Hutchison suffered a left hamstring strain yesterday while working out. The strain was confirmed by an MRI. Hutchison will be reevaluated regularly as he progresses through his rehabilitation. So gives us absolutely zero timetable on when Chandler Hutchison's going to return. No idea how severe this is. But classic, right? I mean, we're 3 weeks away from training camp starting. We already have an injury. Seems like this plays out every single season. Every single season. The Bulls end up with somebody who gets hurt before the season even is able to kick off, even preseason, even training camp. Just a couple days into September, we get this injury news. So I poked my head around a little bit and was asking some people who are close to the situation, you know, followed the Bulls beats, inside information, see if I could get anything out of anybody, just to see if this injury was significant or something that we shouldn't really worry about. I asked if it was Denzel Valentine level concern from last year, and all of them said it was not quite that severe, not that kind of panic just yet. But the bottom line, it's bad enough to where he probably won't be ready for training camp starting on, what, the 30th or the 31st here at the back end of the month. So if we're talking about a month's time before Chandler Hutchison can even get on the floor again, practice regularly, maybe even hop into some of these preseason games. Like, look, we're still a month and a half away from the season, so there's still time for him to make the opening roster, be healthy enough to be there. But, I mean, talking about the severity of this injury, being not able to be ready for training camp, we're talking probably about a month then. So then he's only got a couple games to really fully get ready for the regular season. That's if everything goes well. It's just a concern. I mean, poor Chandler Hutchison, though. I mean, dude started to play well the last couple of weeks before he got hurt, ended up fracturing his foot. Now, these are two main injuries to Chandler Hutchison, who is already, what, going to be 23 this season. Not great. Not great from the second first-round pick that you had just, almost 2 years ago now? I mean, that was the first-round pick you got for Nico Mirotic. It's not turning out too well, and not Chandler Hutchison's fault. Can't fault the player for the injuries. But it's going to be difficult, and we're going to have to be patient as soon as he comes back as well, because it's going to take a time to get readjusted. How many actual games has he played in? Not a whole lot. Half a season last year. Hasn't played probably in an actual game. I think here and there we saw him in summer league just a little bit, but he hasn't played in an actual full game. 8 months. Question is now, do the Bulls look to add another wing? If so, who's it going to be? So let me just kind of lay out the Bulls roster for you right now. If you haven't been paying all that close of attention, or if you're a diehard fan, been listening to every episode, you kind of know what the roster looks like. Let me run through it real quick for you. The guards, Thomas Adransky, Chris Dunn, Kobe White, Ryan Arcidiacono, Shaq Harrison. Zach LaVine, Denzel Valentine, Antonio Blakeney, kind of your combo guards. Your forwards are Otto Porter Jr., Chandler Hutchison, Lauri Markkanen, Thaddeus Young. And your centers are Wendell Carter Jr., Luke Kornet, Daniel Gafford, Cristiano Felicio. So you have 16 guys on the roster right now. Plus you have a two-way player in Adam Mokoka. So the Bulls right now going into the regular season are going to have to look to get rid of somebody. My eyes would be on Antonio Blakeney, or if they can restructure a deal to put him on a two-way deal again, but his money's fully guaranteed right now. Wouldn't be the biggest concern in the world. $1.5 million's not that big of a deal if you have to waive him. But the Bulls are going to have to do something because they can't go into the season with 16 guys. So even if you thought about adding another wing, you'd have to make another room for another spot on the roster. The Bulls are already depleted at that kind of three wing position. And they were already thin before Chandler Hutchison got hurt. Now, going into the season, say you don't have Chandler Hutchison. You have Otto Porter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, and Thaddeus Young as really your true forwards. You're going to be again asking Denzel Valentine, who we haven't seen play in a real game in over a year, to switch between the two and the three. You're going to have to ask Zach LaVine to do that at times. This could be a good thing for Kobe White. Kobe White might be asked to slide to the two, or just kind of by rotation standards, if you're asking Zach LaVine to slide to the three at times, you ask maybe on the bench Chris Dunn to come in and play the two, Denzel Valentine to play the two. Opens kind of a spot up for Kobe White if things go well in camp. Things go well in preseason as well. We might see a little bit more Kobe White. Chandler Hutchison misses opening day. But let's go back to the idea of the Bulls maybe adding somebody. To be honest with you, there isn't a whole lot out there. Your insurance policies on Chandler Hutchison are Iman Shumpert at 29, Carmelo Anthony at 35, Kenneth Vareed at 29, Luol Deng at 34, J.R. Smith at 33, Quincy Pondexter at 31. You're really going to cut a guy from the Bulls roster in order to make a roster spot for any one of those guys? I don't really see that. And the Bulls only have $2.5 million really in their room exception to be able to sign somebody. So you really are having to ask a veteran to come in for a minimum. None of those guys sound appealing at all. So the Bulls don't really have a whole lot of options. Here's what I think the realistic thing is going to be. They're going to ask their two-way guy in Adam Mokoka to come up and fill that roster spot. I think they're going to do a lot of experimenting early on in the season. If Chandler Hutchison misses any time, let's say he misses the first 2 or 3 weeks of play. That's what, 5-7 games? I think you're going to see Adam Mokoka be with the team, probably not play a whole lot, but you're going to see a lot of experimenting with those guards, moving two guards down to the three spot, playing a little bit smaller. I'm hoping this Chandler Hutchison injury isn't significant, but from what I'm hearing, it's not great. So I'm hoping he, no setbacks, hoping he can return. Hopefully we don't get any surprises like we did with the Denzel Valentine injury last year. But from what I'm being made aware of, it's not to that point yet. But the biggest thing was, is I think he's going to miss training camp, which kind of sucks. It sucks for a guy that only played half the season last year. You spent a first round pick on him, and we've only seen 40 odd games out of him. And he's still got a lot of work too. I mean, we love the athleticism that he showed. Love the ability to run the floor. The ability to defend at times. The ability to pass. The ability to rebound. But the shooting needs a lot of work still. We saw the three-point shot get a little bit better at the end of his stint before he got hurt. But it's not perfect by any means right now. So it's just, I think it sets the timeline back for him too, as far as his development, what we know what he can ultimately be. We still have really no idea what Chandler Hutchison is. So that's just a little bit disappointing. And of course, it starts here at the beginning of September, before we even get into training camp. Just kind of a bummer, man. I hope he comes back, though. I hope crossing my fingers, probably six weeks, give or take, from opening night. If it takes 6 weeks for Chandler Hutchison to get back, but he's healthy by opening night, I'll have no complaints. He starts to miss regular season games, though. That's when I get real concerned. The other kicker of this, too, is like, we can go back to injuries. Obviously can't foreshadow any of that, but it just sucks because they gave him the promise. Cigar Foreman guy. The expectation level for him might have been a little higher last year than it should have been after what we saw on the floor. It's just all of these things add up. So I'm hoping he gets back. We see him at opening night, but we'll find out. You guys tell me, though, like, are you willing to cut somebody else from this roster? Because remember, you're going to have to get rid of somebody. Somebody's going to have to go before the start of the season. And then if you decide you want to bring in some depth at that wing position, then you're going to have to get rid of somebody else too. Like, they could do that. They could stretch Felicio if they want to. If they really want to sign a wing, you could do that. Or the Bulls are going to have to look for a trade. And the first person people are going to point to is Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn right now doesn't have any trade value. Zero. But I think ultimately the Bulls, no matter what, whether Chandler Hutchison comes back healthy or not, they're going to have to address this again, have to address this wing position. Bulls are kind of light there. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys updated with any other information. But I want to know, like, out of those five guys that I listed right now that are current free agents, would you get six free agents? Would you get rid of anybody on our roster right now in order to sign one of those guys for 1 year and they might play 10 minutes a night? I'd pass. I mean, there's guys too, like Wes Johnson, who's 32, playing in Greece. It's Sam Decker and Nick Stauskas, who are both 25. Decker's playing in Russia, and Stauskas is playing in Spain. I mean, he could go after one of those guys. But none of those moves move the needle to me. So it's like, don't make a move at all then. Let's hear from you guys, though. 331-979-1369, the place to do that. The second thing I wanted to get to today on today's show was Zach LaVine. I had mentioned it before. There was an article that came out from The Ringer a couple days ago from DJ Foster. Wrote up saying, the NBA's next scoring champion will be Zach LaVine. Headline always grabs me. I'm like, okay, what's the catch here? What's the catch in this article? What's the ifs, ands, and buts about this? As I'm reading through it, pretty good rationale. I think a lot of the things that were mentioned in this article were kind of brought up on this show throughout the season while we watched Zach LaVine have a really, really, really nice season last year. The one thing that they start off with, they note that the departure of some stars from the East, including the main one in Kawhi Leonard, although Kevin Durant flipped from the West to the East, but we won't see him this year. Still kind of missing that star power that the East used to have. East doesn't really have that anymore. LeBron's gone. I mean, you still got Kyrie, still got Kemba Walker, still got some of the younger guys in the East, but it's not as star-driven. You still got Giannis in the East, Joel Embiid, still decent amount of talent, but compared to the West, it's no conversation. So he's saying there's still some room for some stars to kind of grow into that spot. I thought that was interesting, and it's something that we've been talking about a lot, too, and I think a lot of people forget how young Zach LaVine still is. I mean, he's going into his sixth season in the NBA. He's just going to turn 25 in March. Still a lot of room to grow. The writer, too, notes that a lot of people consider LaVine more in the same category as guys like Gerald Green and J.R. Smith, who just come into the game and immediately start chucking up shots, just looking to score, not going to do a whole lot else for your team. But he says, I don't think that that's really where Zach LaVine should be at. Listen to the stat that he gave, and I've given a couple different ones throughout the season. The one more specifically was about LaVine's points per game, field goal percentage, three-point percentage among guys under 25. And he was a part of a list that was only Devin Booker, him, Giannis, Bradley Beal. Those dudes are legitimate stars. Most of them have been all-stars. So being part of that group was exciting. Here's the stat that he gave, though. He said last 40 games of 2018-2019, LaVine hit scoring benchmarks, 22.9 points per game, 48.5% shooting, and 41.7 three-point percentage. This has only been done by three others in NBA history, Steph Curry three times, Dale Ellis, and Kevin Durant. I mean, this is pretty good company to be in. I mean, you could take Zach LaVine's stats from last year and chop it up any way you want to make it look good, and it does, but it takes talent to get to that point. To do it throughout the entire season is also another thing. This is just talking about the last 40 games. Obviously, that includes the monster February that him and Lauri Markkanen have. So you got to take that into context a little bit, but still, to be in the same category, only four players have ever done this in a 40-game stretch: Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Dale Ellis. Pretty good company to be in. The writer, too, also recognizes even with those numbers, the Bulls were still 28th in offensive rating, 23rd in pace, 29th in assist percentage, and 30th in three-point attempts. I mean, the guys around Zach LaVine, too, for the majority of that stretch, especially March, when guys like Jakar Sampson and Walt Lemon Jr. were playing, I mean, he didn't have anybody else around him. And he was also gassed, too, dealing with some injuries, too, trying to fight through it and play through it, still having a pretty decent March. But the Bulls collectively have been terrible. We know this. National media pretty much knows this. But I think it's more of showing that Zach LaVine, despite the Bulls being horrible, was able to put up these numbers. The most important thing that I got out of this entire piece was the recognition. The whole idea that fans and NBA fans around the country, not specifically here in Chicago, or ones who are paying attention to the Bulls, kind of wrote off Zach LaVine a little bit. Just says, nah, he's nothing but a scorer. Doesn't play any defense. Constantly hurt. Feel like more and more that's getting kind of rubbed away. But what he does mention is the people that he wants, that are most important to recognize him, are the guys on the floor in the stripes, the refs. I think this is a huge point. This is something that I think Matt and I have emphasized the entire season while we watch Zach LaVine. Early on in the season, the first, 32 games they played under Fred Hoiberg, Zach LaVine wasn't getting a lot of foul calls. Going to the basket, trying to find strategies, trying to find ways to draw fouls, just wasn't able to do it. He's created different tricks, though, and we saw this throughout the back end of the season, different tricks and ways for him to be able to draw fouls. Like, I know there's been multiple times on Bulls Twitter where there was mentions of, like, why is Zach LaVine screaming? You can hear him on the TV broadcast. And, like, part of that is to draw the attention of the refs. When he's going to the basket, if you hear a screamer yell, even the refs that aren't supposed to be paying attention to that part of the play are going to turn their heads and look. More times than not, you're going to get a foul call. I think he's starting to gain more and more respect from the refs. That's a huge thing. And he notes this too. DJ Foster notes this in this article. And talking about guys like James Harden and Steph Curry, those guys get to the line a lot and they shoot a lot of free throws every single game. James Harden is the perfect example. The points per game he put up last year, 36 points per game? But a lot of those were coming from the free throw line. A third of those points were coming from the free throw line every single night. That's Zach LaVine's key to success, the key to jumping from a 23-point-per-game score to a 29-30-point-per-game score, is getting to the line a lot consistently. What's funny is Jim Boylan, too, want Zach LaVine to do this. Eliminate those mid-range shots. Either take a lot of your shots at the basket drawing fouls or shoot threes. And it started to work for Zach LaVine. This is only going to help his teammates, too. Think about it. Zach LaVine continues to go to the basket, draws fouls. Guys are going to collapse into the paint. It's going to open up a lot of spots for shooters. Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter. Hell, if Kobe White's on the floor. Denzel Valentine. Any one of these guys can can step outside and shoot a three. That starts to happen. The Bulls are going to have some pretty good chemistry. And if they don't do that, if they stay locked up at the three-point line, Zach LaVine's going one-on-one or two-on-one against a guy going to the basket. More likely than not, he's getting drawn on a foul. That's what we need to see, though. And that's a really good point. Like, the only person in the modern NBA to lead the league in scoring and only average under 6.5 free throws a game was Steph Curry. So it's very hard to do that. So Zach LaVine needs to continue to increase the free throw attempts per game. More importantly, though, I think for Zach LaVine, and not to put any pressure on him, is getting to that All-Star game this year. Can represent Chicago, can really cement himself as the face of this organization, because the Bulls really don't have that yet. We're all kind of leaning towards Lowry, kind of leaning towards Zach LaVine. Who is it? Don't really know at this point. Zach LaVine becomes an All-Star this year, reps the Bulls not only in the All-Star game, but maybe even in the dunk contest. I mean, you're cementing yourself as the face of the organization and the face and the number one piece in this rebuild. Now, that's a lot of pressure for Zach LaVine over the course of the first 4 or 5 months, especially when you still have only a second-year coach in Jim Boylan. You have a lot of new faces around you. How is the chemistry going to click with all the rest of these guys? Thaddeus Young, Thomas Satoransky, Kobe White. Actually being healthy and being able to play with guys like Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn for a full season, Denzel Valentine for a full season, Wendell Carter Jr. for a full season. It's weird, and it's kind of unknown at this point how all of these guys are going to be able to play consistently through 82 games together. But I think if Zach LaVine kind of wants to be, and I mean, being the next scoring champion in the NBA is it's more positive than I think most Bulls fans would be, right? I believe a lot in Zach LaVine, and I'd be the first one to tell you, Zach LaVine, I live on Zach LaVine Island. I have since he signed the contract. I have since the Bulls made the trade with Jimmy Butler. I said be patient with him. We did in the first season. Last year was a lot better. Loved what we were seeing from Zach LaVine. This year's kind of the defining year for him, right? Is it he's really part? Is he A in this rebuild? Is he number one in this rebuild? Is he that piece? Is he going to be the face of the organization? I think more so than the whole next scoring champion of the NBA, that's kind of the point that this article is bringing across. Because he also does mention, too, it's going to be a lot, really, really difficult to catch a guy like James Harden for the scoring champion. But Zach LaVine increases his free throw attempts per game. And a lot of those guys at age 25, when they turn it on, and they jump 4, 5, 6 points per game, is around 25. It says the average age for a player. The recent history of first-time scoring champions bodes well for LaVine. Since the 2000-2001 season, first-time scoring title winners have been on average 25.3 years old, with an experience level of 6.6 seasons in the league. LaVine turns 25 in March and is entering his sixth season. There you go. 10 first-time scoring title winners: Allen Iverson, Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Stephen Curry, James Harden all saw their points per game rise an average of 5.2 points from the previous year. A similar jump for LaVine this upcoming season would put him at 28.9 points per game, that have ranked second in the league in 2018-2019. It's interesting, man. It's fun to think about the positive side of what this rebuild can be, right? As opposed to worrying, talking about the negatives. If Zach LaVine makes that kind of jump, how do you think this Bulls team is played out this year? One of two things tells me: either Lowry and Wendell and Otto miss some type of significant time, and it's really leaning, the offense is leaning heavily on LaVine. we're in a perfect world, everything starts to click. The guys around him realize he is the number one scorer, the dominant scorer. And they tailor the offense towards that. Now, do I think that that's going to happen? Probably not. I mean, I still think Lowry and Zach LaVine are going to have about equal touches. If I had to say for sure, I think it's going to be Zach LaVine is going to have slightly more shots per game, probably a higher points per game percentage than Lowry will still. I think Lowry kind of sits 1B behind Zach LaVine as 1A. Maybe not in the fans' eyes, but I think to the Bulls, Zach LaVine right now knows that he's their main scoring option. But do they want Lowry to be that guy in the future? Probably. But I think it's not a bad thing to have both of those guys having similar touches, being around the same. It's all going to come down to the free throw attempts. We'll see. The Zach LaVine has the respect of the officials now. I think gaining that now in a full year, having shooters around you, having guys that are going to be competent on defense too, guys that can actually run the break. I mean, how many times did we see Zach LaVine have a 3-on-1 with two other Bulls players and they couldn't figure it out? Small things like that, I think, is going to help Zach LaVine a lot. So I'm excited. Glad to see that the Ringer's showing Zach LaVine a little bit of love, and same with the Bulls. So we need that national attention here. Something a little bit more positive than that opening night at the Bears game. I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. I was going to do one other thing, but we'll save it for Monday. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Like I said before, save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls. You'll be able to text us, drop us any voicemails you want. You'll be able to hear those on the show every single week when we do mailbag. So we've had a lot of really good questions, a lot of good hypotheticals, a lot of kind of off-the-wall topics that we've talked about that Matt and I have both gotten into. So thank you to everybody that's been sending us texts, sending us voicemails. We're just a couple of weeks away. We got still FIBA World Cup this weekend. I know for a lot of you that are living in the United States, it's kind of at a weird time. For those living internationally, it's been a little bit easier for you guys to watch the games. But nonetheless, Matt talked about the Turkey, USA-Turkey game, that nail-biter the USA team pulled off. So we'll still have some of that this weekend. Thomas Adoransky and Cristiano Felicio playing in the tournament. So we'll see what happens with that. But excited college football too as well this weekend. Get all of your content though. NFL, MLB, college, all from the Locked On Podcast Network. We got Locked On Bears. We've Locked On Cubs. Handful of Big Ten teams too on the Locked On Podcast Network if you're into college basketball and college football. So make sure you're subscribed. All of those guys do a very, very, very good job. And just like here, 5 days a week, daily podcast dedicated to your team. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. But that's it. Have a great weekend, Bulls fans. And we will be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan Malley, I am saying, I'm out of here. Have a great weekend. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com